Taking someone prisoner, of course, is a villainous thing to do. And when you think of doing a villainous thing, even if you have a very good reason for thinking of doing it, it can make you feel like a villain, too. Lately, the Baudelaires had been doing things like wearing disguises and helping burn down a carnival, and were beginning to feel more and more like villains themselves. But Violet and Klaus had never done anything as villainous as taking somebody prisoner. And as they looked at Quigley, they could tell that he felt just as uncomfortable, sitting in the dark and thinking up a villainous plan. "How would we do it?" Klaus asked quietly. "We could lure her to us," Violet said, "and trap her." Quigley wrote something down in his commonplace book. "We could use the verdant flammable devices," he said. "Esme thinks they're cigarettes, and she thinks cigarettes are in. If we lit some of them, she might smell the smoke and come down here." "But then what?" Klaus asked. Violet shivered in the cold and reached into her pocket. Her fingers bumped up against the large bread knife, which she had almost forgotten was there, and then found what she was looking for. She took the ribbon out of her pocket and tied her hair up to keep it out of her eyes. The eldest Baudelaire could scarcely believe she was using her inventing skills to think up a trap. "The easiest trap to build," she said, "is a pit. We could dig a deep hole and cover it up with some of this half-burned wood, so Esme couldn't see it. The wood has been weakened by the fire, so when she steps on it..." Violet did not finish her sentence, but by the glow of the flashlights, she could see that Klaus and Quigley were both nodding. "Hunters have used traps like that for centuries," Klaus said, "to capture wild animals." "That doesn't make me feel any better," Violet said. "How could we dig such a pit?" Quigley said. "Well," Violet said, "we don't really have any tools, so we'd probably have to use our hands. As the pit got deeper, we'd have to use something to carry the dirt away." "I still have that pitcher," Klaus said. "And we'd need a way to make sure that we wouldn't get trapped ourselves," Violet said. "I have a rope," Quigley said, "in my backpack. We could tie one end to the archway and use it to climb out." Violet reached her hand down to the ground. The dirt was very cold, but quite loose, and she saw that they could dig a pit without too much trouble. "Is this the right thing to do?" Violet asked. "Do you think this is what our parents would do?" "Our parents aren't here," Klaus said. "They might have been here once, but they're not here now." The children were quiet again, and tried to think as best they could in the cold and the dark. Deciding on the right thing to do in a situation is a bit like deciding on the right thing to wear to a party. It is easy to decide on what is wrong to wear to a party, such as deep-sea diving equipment or a pair of large pillows, but deciding what is right is much trickier. It might seem right to wear a navy blue suit, for instance, but when you arrive, there could be several other people wearing the same thing, and you could end up being handcuffed due to a case of mistaken identity. It might seem right to wear your favourite pair of shoes, but there could be a sudden flood at the party, and your shoes would be ruined. And it might seem right to wear a suit of armour to the party, but there could be several other people wearing the same thing, and you could end up being caught in a flood due to a case of mistaken identity, and find yourself drifting out to sea, wishing that you were wearing deep-sea diving equipment after all. The truth is, you can never be sure if you have decided on the right thing until the party is over, and by then it is too late to go back and change your mind, which is why the world is filled with people doing terrible things and wearing ugly clothing, and so few volunteers who are able to stop them.